Do you like vampires? Then you might like Colleen, a Vlada Tale of the Damned, the sequel to Vlada, a Dracula Tale, a story in a graphic novel prose format where Christopher Denmy and Ken Hunt gender swap the cast of Dracula, and this is the sequel 5 years later. Hopefully you can check it out over on the Vlada, a Dracula Tale page or on Kickstarter coming up this summer, as well as on the artists connected to the book like Tim Vigil, Matt Slay, Heather Rose, and more. Look for more information on Kickstarter, or again, go to the social medias for Radio of Horror, the Vlada a Dracula Tale page on Facebook, or Vlada a Dracula Tale on X.
In the shadows you can hear the sounds, the rumble of a 100 hellhounds, cries of the banshee, terror of the Wendigo. You also can't see if there's nowhere to go. It's the creature.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore here on the Radio Horror Network. I am your host, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Mel Heflin, his co-host.
And today we're talking about the supernatural interpretation of the God with multiple sayings of his name. But it's also multiple versions of the name online. Mel, what are the multiple ways we say this guy's name that appeared in what episode of Supernatural?
Okay, so... most of the ways are cacao or cacaw.
Cacaw.
That's exactly how it's spelled. Or the pronunciation version of that.
Cacaw.
So we are specifically cacaw. Talking about...
Yeah, go on, sorry.
No, cacaw.
Cacaw.
It's okay.
Go on.
We are specifically talking about Season 8, Episode 3. The original air date was October 17th, 2012. Great times. Sam and Dean investigate a string of unusual murders where victims were all recipients of organs from the same donor. The killer is captured, but things become even more complicated when the brothers find their killer in a trance, mumbling an ancient prayer. And that was the synopsis.
The monster in this episode does not look like anything like the cave paintings that we see of it. Just point that out.
We actually never... Well, I guess we do see photos of cacao or cacao.
Right, but we're talking about online.
From the photos that Betsy has.
Yeah, I'm talking about online, though. It's... I mean, there's some glowing red eyes and some face paint, right?
Sometimes. So, as we get into this, in my research, this god got... The research got very muddy and very confusing. And the more I researched, the more muddy it got. And actually, down here in my notes, I found out why. And this is actually pretty mind-blowing, because I have never seen anything like this. I know that there are some gods and some creatures that have multiple different names. Like, the Rougarou is kind of like a werewolf and can be considered a werewolf.
The Rougarou, by the way. It's the Rougarou.
There's several different names. It can even be called the Loup-Garou.
No, I mean, it's pronounced the Rougarou.
There are multiple ways. Just like this one. Even in the show, they call it a Rougarou.
What's funny is the actress... The funny thing is that the actress who plays our goddess in this, Kira Zagorski, she played Athena, the goddess, in Arrow.
So the reason my research got so muddy is, so according to UK Mayan archaeologists, these dozen or so gods that I will mention later in this episode are all very, very different, but they are all considered one god in many different disguises. Mm-hmm. The names of these gods and goddesses changed throughout time. So the three or four different names can be given to a single deity depending on the time period. But also, it's considered one god wearing like different clothes. That's why specifically the cow can also be considered Xcha, or you see so many different, very, very differing depictions of him. There's one where he's depicted holding a tree. There's one where he's depicted as a tree. There's one where he's depicted as a creature, and it's all the same god.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they dress themselves up, and the god dresses himself up in disguise, according to these UK archaeologists that specifically study Mayan culture.
Interesting.
I found it incredibly fascinating because I was so confused why I kept coming across all these different names. If you type in the Mayan god of maize or the Mayan goddess of maize, depending on how you type it in, you get a different name nearly every time. There's like 6 or 7 different names.
What was it the god of? What did it do?
So depending specifically on what you're looking up, the Mayan, in the Mayan oral tradition, and this is why it got so muddy, is because it was an oral tradition and all these stories were passed down orally, and it's very much like the game of telephone. These things get passed down orally for hundreds of years, and specifically about Mayans, which, you know, Mayan and Aztec culture sometimes get muddy when people don't really know the difference. The Aztecs were people who lived very central Mexico from 14th to 16th centuries, and they spread throughout Mesopotamia, but the Mayan people lived in southern Mexico and northern Central America, and this was a very wide territory that was across the entire Yucatan Peninsula. So that was as early as 2600 BC.
Whoa.
And the civilization's height was 250 to 900 AD. So the Mayan culture is way, way, way older. But they kind of share gods in a way. So some people from the Mayan culture ended up in the Aztec culture. It's very confusing. And the more I researched, the more I got confused on this one. But back to Mayans. The oral tradition says that the personification of maize is depicted as a woman. So it's very fascinating that they decided to go with a god on this one. The classic period distinguished two different male forms. So the goddess also had male forms. Sometimes she transformed into a male, a foliated, so leafy maize god, and a tonsured one. The foliated god is considered like the tree one that I mentioned earlier, where he was depicted as a tree.
Okay.
And the cobs were shaped as heads.
Interesting. There's a movie there's a movie that came out, I think, in 1990 or 1991. I think it's called The Wicked. Not to be confused with the film that came out last year based on the famous play.
Right.
Continue with what you're talking about. I'm trying to look it up right now because there's a lot of similarities with this movie. I just watched it, but I can't remember the exact name of it. I'm looking it up right now. Everything you're mentioning was in this movie in 1991.
Fascinating.
Yeah, go on.
All right. You keep looking. And
I am, because I just watched it, and everything you described was in this movie. And it was really good, too. It's really good. It's about a couple who just had a baby, and they need a nanny. And the nanny, earlier in the film, kidnapped another baby. And she's like this wood god person. And when like the husband starts getting suspicious of something's wrong with her and the wife begins to starting to believe him, it becomes a relentless cat and mouse game with this thing wanting the baby. And she's like a tree god thing.
Oh my gosh.
And he goes out
don't
to the woods
always want babies?
While he's out in the woods chopping the tree up with an axe. And it's like spurting blood everywhere because there's all these like babies like part of the tree now. So they're like dead, but they're a part of the tree and the tree's bleeding. The tree Terminator woman is like chasing the mom and the baby to get the baby while he's chopping up the tree, and she's like stark naked, you know what I mean, chasing after her, this mom and her kid. It's a fascinating movie from like 1991. I tried to have the main actor on the show, but he's like, oh my god, it's been 30 years since that movie came out. 35 years? Yeah, it's the 35th anniversary, so it's actually 1990. And he declined the interview just because he's like, he's taking a huge break from his entire like career or whatever, so even like interviews. But I was like, no, that's fine. Just keep us in mind if you ever decide to want to come back, actually come on the show. Anyway, go on.
Nice. Okay, so this foliated maze god is a one-dimensional vegetation spirit, and this tonsured maze god's functions are so much more diverse. When performing
Oh,
a
okay.
ritual, the tonsured one typically wears a netted jade skirt with a belt with large shells covering the groin area.
Oh my.
It's a queen rather than a king that tends to represent the tonsured maze god. So sometimes the not leafy one, the human one, is depicted as a goddess or a woman, and the queen appears as the maze goddess in accordance with the native oral tradition. So, as I said, it stretches out so many different directions. Sometimes in my research, it's not just the god or goddess of corn slash maize. They are also the god or goddess of chocolate, which I'm sure you've heard the word cacao
Yes.
before. And the cacao plant is actually unfermented cocoa, which is where we get chocolate.
Yes.
And chocolate was like a divine experience. They considered the Mayan culture considered chocolate to be like a gift from the gods. Like chocolate was derived from the gods. They gave it to the humans, and Spanish people came over to conquer, and those people started mixing it with sugar, but they preferred it to bitter. And I'm getting off track here. So it got really complicated.
Okay.
Here's the different names that I found for different gods.
All right, hold on a second. I
Amun
found, hold on,
was
hold
considered.
on, Mel. Hold on one second. I found the name of the film. All
Okay.
right, it's called The Guardian. It's directed by William Friedkin, who is best known as the director of The Exorcist. It's based on a novel by Dan Greenberg called The Nanny. So that's why I thought it was called The Nanny. The film follows a young couple who hire a nanny for the care of their newborn, only to discover that she is a supernatural entity with sinister intentions. This movie, if you're a parent at any point, so obviously, your kid's all grown up, you can still watch it, is I think, just an insanely unknown film. People, I think, have forgotten about it. The cover for this thing, has a woman standing in the doorway, like in a shroud, and it's like purple light behind her, and it says, "From the director of The Exorcist, The Guardian."
It looks like a movie from the director of The Exorcist, just the
Yeah.
cover of it.
Molly and Alan Sheridan leave their two children in the care of their nanny, Diana Julian. Diana, who is in fact an ancient Greek mythology hemadryad, is a tree nymph. They're born bonded to certain trees on which their life depends. Some maintain that hemadryad is the tree itself. I don't think they ever did this creature on Supernatural, right?
I don't think so, no.
No, but wouldn't that have been fascinating if Sam and Dean had to fight something like this to protect a baby?
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Like, Dean, thinks she's, hot because, they obviously gotta be hot. Not a lot of fat
Because
characters.
they always
Not a lot
are.
of fat, ugly creatures on the show, man or woman. So just so everyone thinks we're not, just saying. But there's not a lot of those kind of like monsters on this show. You know what I mean? It's not like you see the giant slug guy from Blade. You remember that big fat vampire that was sitting in its own juices?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, gross, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, nope, never. The Supernatural TV show features various mythology characters. It doesn't say if a dryad showed up on Supernaturals. It did show up on the Vampire Diaries, though. It feels like they took elements of the dryads and incorporated it into other characters in the show. But the only time it shows up is, again, the only thing that's connected to when it says supernatural creature is for the TV show The Vampire Diaries.
Interesting.
Yeah, but from what you're describing, it sounds like a dryad in a way, except for the whole baby snatching thing. So, anyway, the plot synopsis is like it begins with like one set of ba a baby getting killed, and then another baby getting kidnapped later on. This thing thing played the Terminator like baby stature was like, you know, they obviously had to cast somebody that was like incredibly alluring, you know what I mean? Jennifer Seagrave was the actress's name. And she's got a look in her eyes. Even today, much older, you can tell she was like a killer in another lifetime. So, all right, go on with your explanation. Sorry.
Okay. So, as I was saying, the god of, or the god or goddess of maize was also considered the god or goddess of chocolate, depending on which website you use to look at for this lore. So, there's one of these gods' names, Ekchua, is the patron god of cacao. The owners of the cacao groves would hold ceremonies and special festivals in his honor. And from what I know, I just have to assume that these are all talking about the same god or goddess. As mentioned before, the UK Mayan archaeologists considered these all the same people. And the names change over the very long time span that the Mayans were around. Anywho, Amun was also the Mayan god of agriculture, which their main agriculture crop was maize, secondary to, primary to their second crop, which was cacao. And then we have Hun Hunafu, which is also a, you guessed it, Mayan maize god. And when I was looking up Mayan god of maize, I had two different Aztec maize gods come up. One that sounds exactly like the god of cacao, which is the Aztec maize god / goddess, Chicometcotl, which was a god of agriculture that had positive and negative powers of growth and famine, which they also grow maize, of course. And then we also have Centilatl, which is another maize deity. And it means, translated directly to English, dried maize still on the cob.
Oh.
Very interesting. All these different names, all extremely similar, and may or may not be the same person, depending on who you're talking to. Same god.
Did you ever play a deity like this?
I don't think so. I did play Aphrodite, but that was Greek mythology.
Yeah. We covered in the last episode. Anything similar to this kind of like creature in respect? Not necessarily like exactly like it, but something similar?
Nope. Never anything quite like this. I did work on a movie called Return of the Corn Zombies, which God of Maize, Corn Zombies. Similarities, you tell me.
The pictures of this thing, the Ekchua, patron deity of cacao, as depicted in the Dresden Codex, doesn't look like anything we saw on the show. Dates back to the 11th and 12th century. Wow. Very ancient.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating.
Do you have any other notes for about this creature, Mel?
Only just a little bit.
Okay.
Although the god cacao is not actually seen in the episode, only in pictures, it is still possible that he is still alive, as his deal to work in the present day. I mean, think about it. People are still praying to him. He may or may not still be alive. So will we see him in the next season of Supernatural? Maybe.
They're not doing the next season of Supernatural. Everyone on Supernatural is on The Boys. Everyone's like, when's Supernatural coming back? Well, not right now, because they're on The Boys. Like, everybody's on The Boys. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Jensen Ackles, Jared Padalecki, Bobby,
Robert Singer. It's just like, holy cow, it's Eric Kripke running the show. I mean, it would be like, okay, let's have a breather. And then we'll, what? Mel, we're talking over each other. I got to edit all that out. What did you say?
Oh, I just said they'd come back one day, maybe.
Not right now, though. The show's only been off the air for a few years, and it's like, you gotta give these things, like, a while to breathe, and they clearly are not seeming to want to rush Supernatural back after the disaster that was the Winchesters. I could not sit through that.
It was bad.
It was just pointless. If anyone wants some Supernatural you haven't seen, I guarantee anyone listening this, and I know there are people who have, but I guarantee a lot of people have never seen the Supernatural anime series. It's basically the first two seasons in anime form, just condensed and kind of rewritten in its own way.
I like the anime series that it extended a couple of episodes.
A little bit. I thought it was funny sometimes, especially seeing the depictions of the guys. And of course, Jensen Ackles only came in for the last two episodes. Jared Padalecki was in every episode. Bobby was very different. So was Crowley.
That's true.
Crowley wasn't on it. Lucifer was on it, and he was very, no, the yellow-eyed demon. That's what it was. He was very differently drawn. Bobby looked like, if you've ever played the video game, Bayonetta, it's been on the Wii U most of the Wii and the Switch most of the time now. She looks like Dominatrix Sarah Palin, former vice president candidate for Republican office of the United States of America. There's a character that hangs around with her that looks like Danny DeVito in a fedora, and that's who Bobby looks like on the anime show. It's kind of funny. By the way, that box set I saw at Walmart that I posted out online, someone had to correct me, that I believe is only the DVD set. The DVD set on Amazon goes for $94.99, so not so great, as the Blu-ray set still goes for $134.99, but still a big price drop from the $250 it was when it came out.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but I will totally sell all my 15 of my box sets to convert to this thing, just to have it in a nice, you know, contained set. I don't think this is ever going to get like an HD kind of set thing, but this would still be cool to have just to condense everything down. But it is a massive set, so 327 episodes.
Now, are the new box sets being made? Do they have the original music?
Or this is everything. This is basically like all of the stuff that was released previously just packaged together like this. Nobody has said anything about like music being cut out of this, so I'm assuming it's probably because it's all Warner Brothers licensed music that they already have the rights to. I'm almost positive someone said that all the music on Supernatural is from Warner Brothers music library, so that means they don't need to worry about licensing problems.
Okay, I thought that was the reason that Carry On My Wayward Son was removed from the openings when it's on Netflix.
That was because it's streaming on Netflix. That's different. Warner Brothers doesn't own Netflix. Carry On, if you notice, they used Carry On My Wayward Son less and less, at the exception of the season finales, because they had to pay out to Kansas. So it's still there. It's just it's been used less because of the amount of times they have to use it to pay out is pretty big.
Right. So does the licensing not carry over from Warner Brothers owning Supernatural to borrowing to Netflix?
Netflix is a completely different deal. I don't know anything.
Okay.
Yeah. That again, as it's on a completely different streaming service than the Warner Brothers happens to own, I don't know how all that works out.
Okay.
That's why you should buy physical media, because you don't own anything digital.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I preach that, and people will always disagree with me, but,
I understand like things like Dawson's Creek and the Charm show have had massive amounts of episodes with music that was not in the original broadcasting. And unfortunately that will be the way it is until some other agreement comes up. But let's face it, people aren't exactly clamoring for those things to get released originally. Or there are fans, there's not enough of Warner Brothers to care. Yeah. Things are very, very different these days in terms of like, oh, well, let's just put out a box set. Sure, who's going to buy it? oh, all these people in this Facebook group say they'll buy it. Sure. How many of these people in this Facebook group actually are going to buy it? You know what I mean? So that's why they do the print on demand thing now.
Yeah.
So if you want it, you're going to pay like more money than you would in stores. And the box that I posted on the group today, it was from Walmart, but it was the DVD set because I forget. The Blu-ray set would actually have the blue ring around the top. So, but I digress. That's all the notes I have for this episode.
I only have just the notes on the powers and abilities from Supernatural.
What's the powers and abilities?
He's able to grant power in exchange for human sacrifices, and he is supposedly immortal, which he was around for thousands of years, but then he supposedly died. Supposedly. That's all.
Mel, where can people find you?
Across the internet, at Mel Heflin.
In the darkest corners of the internet.
Oh, for sure. Even more so now.
You can find me over on the Radio Horror page, as well as my radio show Sunday Night 10-12, and also with my other podcasts. And we'll be back next month with another exciting episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore. Don't forget to send us an email at RadioHorror@gmail.com or leave a comment on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Amazon. Sorry, not Google Play anymore. I don't think Google does that anymore. Amazon does. They have Audibles. If you have the Amazon Music app, all podcasts are on there. We're on there too. But also on iTunes iHeartRadio. They list our podcast as well. So, but they list every single podcast. So make sure you go there or just leave a comment on the website, RadioHorror.com. Thank you, everyone.
In the shadows you can hear the sounds, the rumble of a 100 hellhounds, cries of the banshee, terror of the wendigo. You all they can't see.